Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Hey, Chicago. This is Elise Glink. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm sitting in for Steve Bertrand today. It's December 31st. Woo! Watching everybody walk by, getting ready for New Year's Eve. I hope you're having a good and happy one tonight. Of course, stay safe. Want everybody to be safe out there and warm because it's going to be cold. We have a great show today. Dennis Rodkin joins me right now. He is the residential real estate reporter for Cranes. And we were saying just before we went on air that we have never met in person, but I am a huge fan. Welcome.
Thank you. And back at you. You know, I think the problem is we're both so busy covering stories is why we haven't met.
That's it. We're out there. We're pounding the pavement
pounding
for
the
everybody.
Pavement. That's, yeah, exactly.
Looking at incredible houses. Well, we were talking a little bit just before we came on about how we remember way back when, and we are showing our age a little bit, yeah. I suppose, when I say this, when there were hardly any million-dollar houses for sale, and now there are thousands.
Now there are thousands, yeah. Unfortunately, there's kind of a backlog of them right now, but when I started doing this 25 years ago, at least, a million-dollar house was a big deal.
Yeah.
I would look at
it. That was a real number, right?
Yeah. Almost anything that sold for $1 million attracted my attention, and now the people in the newsroom know I'm more likely to, my attention is caught if it's $3, $4, $5 million. The million-dollar homes are the, like, the also-rans.
You know, it's funny, I do a little, like, blog for CBSNews.com, and we were looking at multi-million-dollar houses in New York, and I think that if it wasn't priced at $100 million,
yeah,
it didn't
right.
even make the cut for my top 10 list.
It's kind of amazing. I think our peak year, the Chicago market sold 2,460 million-dollar homes.
Wow.
We're down from that. That's right at the peak of the market. We aren't selling 2,400 anymore, but I don't yet know the total for this year, but I'm pretty sure it's over 2,000.
Well, people always ask me, and I'm sure you get the same question, how much money do you actually have to make to buy a million-dollar house? And of course, it depends on interest rates, which
right.
are at near historic lows. But as they creep up, fewer and fewer people will be able to afford it. So the quick answer I always give them is, well, people who typically buy million-dollar homes don't need loans.
Right. Yeah. It's in many cases, it's how much did you inherit in order to buy the million-dollar.
Right.
But again, I mean, there are an awful lot of people buying a million-dollar home. But when you look at the financing they've done, many people have put down a big enough down payment that it's not just a move-up buy.
Yeah.
It's I got my inheritance from mom, dad, whatever it is.
That baby boomer multi-trillion dollar transfer of
yeah.
wealth we've been hearing about.
Already and so it goes in as a far larger down payment than the 5 to 15% down payment.
Yeah, which is kind of nice. And they're still doing jumbo loans. But here's what's amazing to me is that you can get a jumbo mortgage, which is anything over $417,000. And I think you're still paying like 4%.
I know. It's unbelievable. It doesn't seem likely that we'll be sitting here a year from today saying that, though.
No,
right?
It'll probably creep up a little bit. But
yeah.
So are the prices, which is kind of incredible.
Right.
So you've been looking at very high-priced property and some of the cool stuff. And I thought maybe as a little holiday gift to realtors and everybody else who's just like a real estate spectator.
Yeah,
big spectator
and everybody sport. Is. Almost everybody is a real estate spectator, I find.
I think so, too. So tell us, what were some of your very favorite properties that you saw out there? What are the big pricey things? What's going on? And what kind of stuff do they include?
Well, one that just closed this week, this is the second highest price of this year, is a $13.3 million sale of a mansion on Burling.
Oh.
It was for sale for, I think it's 17, it was for sale from May 2014, and I was actually lucky to be the one to break the, it was a pocket listing at the time, it wasn't openly on the market, so we were the first out with the news that it came on the market, and so now I'll just continue to brag and say we were the first out with the news that it had sold 17 months later, but it came on the market at $18.75 million.
Yep.
It had a long soap opera we could talk about, it was off the market, various things, and then sold this week for $13.3 million. It's a 20,000 square foot home on Burling. As I said, it was actually built in two pieces. It originally was a 14,000 square foot house on
wow.
four lots and eventually was expanded to be a 20,000 square foot house on five Chicago lots. And you know that neighborhood, that whole Burling Orchard and Howe area, being on five lots is not that uncommon up there. There
No.
are so many of those big multi-lot, mega multi-million dollar homes.
Yeah, they bought, people went up there and bought lot after lot after
yeah.
lot and put them together, and then they just built absolutely enormous houses, and they all wanted gardens to go with them.
Right.
So you have a lot fewer homes, but very high property taxes on that street, which is, you know, de rigueur, as you,
yes.
could, you could imagine.
Which goes with the territory.
Do we know who bought it and who sold it, or was it
Don't
in a land
Don't know
trust?
Who bought it. I am watching for who bought it. But the sellers were Tim and Alicia Mullen. Tim Mullen is an investor, owns part of the Tampa Bay Rays, and has never commented on the house. So all I know, that's as much as I know about them. Don't know where they're going. And as I said, I'm watching for the buyers. The other, I call these the Christmas presents, the big prices at the mm-hmm. end of the year. The other one that just went this week that is kind of interesting is, you know, Lincoln Park 2550, the tall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Built, great. Right across from the zoo. And
yeah.
The,
overlooking
Botanic
the lagoon. Mm-hmm. Big mansard roof at the top. And those top two floors, the ones under the mansard roof, were one penthouse, 12,000 square feet. Less than a month ago, the developer they'd sold everything else in the building. So they said, you know what? Nobody's buying this 12,500 square foot penthouse. We've got priced at $11 million. So they split it in two pieces. That was less than a month ago. They said, mm-hmm. if we have a $7 million piece and a $2.6 million piece, maybe we'll get them sold. And they did.
Wow.
Less than a month. Just this week, just yesterday, the $7 million one closed. I don't yet know for how much, but approaching $7 million, I would assume. And the smaller one closed. So that was kind of a good strategy, splitting that 12,500 square foot penthouse into two pieces.
You know, it really is. I don't even know what to say. It's like rich people problems, right? Well, oh, I can't get rid of my $13 million house.
You don't have those rich people problems, Elise?
Yeah, you know, not this week. maybe in the new year. All right, quick, before we go to break, big prediction for 2016 for residential real estate in Chicago. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, because we're going to continue to burn off that foreclosure inventory, our prices may rise a little bit faster than they've been rising, which is not to say I think they'll rise fast. Our prices have been rising slower than almost any other major city in America.
Yeah, they have.
We might move from 20th place up to, say, 19th or 18th. So our prices might rise a little faster than they've been.
All right. Well, we'll take that. Better than going down, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dennis Rodkin covers residential real estate for Cranes. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Dennis Rodkin, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll do that for sure. Hey, great to meet you.
Thanks, Elise. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand today. It's been so fun this week to chat with everybody. Dennis Rodkin, very cool. It is. He's definitely somebody I've been watching for years. Huge fan, and so glad he could join us today. So now I have yet another, that's a good thing to do. I've got another good friend who's in the studio with me. John Byrne and I have been friends forever. And about, six, 7 months ago, we looked at each other and we said, you know, we really should take this conversation that we're having about marketing and media and we should do something with it. And so we've created this podcast called Monday Morning Marketing. But I wanted to, since we were coming in today, and Monday Morning Marketing is going to start appearing on WGN Plus next week. Very exciting stuff. I thought John and I could talk a little bit, and you could meet him, my good friend John Byrne. So, John, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be here.
So, John, you are a lawyer, a former journalist, a former CMO of a global law firm.
Recovering lawyers.
Recovering journalist, I think is what we...
Recovering from a lot of things, apparently.
Right. And tomorrow morning, we're going to be recovering from dinner tonight.
Exactly.
So I met John because John and his wife, Bobby, have triplets. And they happen to be the same ages as my son, Michael, who's they're all 18 now.
Yep.
Michael turns 18 in a couple of weeks.
Close
and
enough.
One day, Michael reminded me of how we met, which was that he was eating you guys out of house and home. Believe is the story. And
he did like his pizza.
He did like the pizza. And so he came home and he told us that. And I felt so bad. I walked over with a bottle of wine. And 2 hours later, we were still chatting. And Michael's like, are we going home? What are we doing here? And we've been friends ever since.
for sure. It was a great time.
It was a great time.
I'm not sure we even tapped that bottle of wine. We just kept talking.
I think that's probably the case.
We're good at that.
We're very good at that. So money and marketing and media and all these things that we talk about on Monday Morning Marketing, you know, this was such a great, I think, way to look at how the forces that are reshaping our lives. And I think many people know me as a money and real estate person. They don't realize that I've had a long history in business, being a small business owner for a long time with a whole bunch of employees, working for big corporations, doing strategy and marketing. And this was a way for me to kind of talk about these things that are so important that are not quite in a real estate context. And for you as well.
For me as well. No, it's been great to talk about a lot of things that affect small business owners, but even people who work in big companies who have large staffs and large budgets sometimes. But so we've covered a range of topics over the past, what are we up to, about 11 podcasts or so?
I think actually we're 13 or 14,
okay.
And all of them are going to be available at WGN Plus starting next week, I think.
Right.
We're going to have our picture taken. We're going to be big stars. We're going to be stars.
We've hit the big time.
That's right. So I thought we could talk a little bit today, and we're going to do an Ask Us Anything, Ask Me Anything about real estate, money, and business, but for John and I as well, about media, marketing, social media, things that we do every day in our lives. But I want to talk about some of the biggest marketing stories of the year. And for you, I think it's probably all things digital or mobile, right?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've talked about a lot over the past year, and it's just really crystallized, is the fact how mobile is essentially taking over our lives in so many different ways, especially when the business world. And I think a lot of people in business, whether you're a small business owner or, again, working for a large company, you have to pay attention now to mobile because it is the dominant platform upon which all marketing and advertising and content is definitely done.
So we saw some things this year happen that I think were kind of new. Google started giving you a ding if you didn't have a mobile-friendly website.
Right. And in fact, they even started a situation where you could go test your website to see whether, in fact, it was mobile-friendly for Google. I think the other thing is that the reason mobile is so predominant now is that two-thirds of American adults have a smartphone. And for a lot of them, it's their main way that they access the internet. And there's even a statistic that shows something like 1 in 7 of the younger demographic, which a lot of marketers want to go after from the people who are age 18 to 29, they 1 in 7, it's their only way, essentially, that they access the internet. And when you think about it, I mean, we're tending toward the late Generation X, early boomer, or late boomer, I guess, and early Generation X. But for us, we have so many different platforms. But for most younger people, their phone is everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, we see that with our 18-year-olds,
yeah.
Right? I mean, their noses are on their phones 24/7. They sleep with them. They eat with them. They take them, I think, to the bathroom. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all over.
And, you know, social media obviously has, I think, played into that. But I also think that even the adoption of a mobile device has instigated new forms of social media, like Instagram. I mean,
right.
You know, it's funny. My wife was trying to figure out how to access Instagram yesterday, and she was sitting on her laptop. I'm like, honey, you can't do that. You got to go on your phone because
right.
It's really a mobile
first. It's a mobile first thing.
Yeah.
Even we're doing a new app at my company, ThinkLink Media. We're working on an app for employers around the idea of financial wellness. And we've told everybody it's cloud-based, mobile first. You know, people have to be able to access it from their phones first. It's really not designed for your computer, for sending it a computer.
Yeah, and it's funny because the mobile platforms have, I think, put some other businesses out of business. And it's funny, I drive a Ford, and it has a navigation system, and they just ping me and saying, hey, update your navigation system for $100 or whatever it was. And I kind of thought for a minute, it's like, do I even need to bother updating my navigation system because I have a phone? Right? I mean, so many people are using
right.
their phones.
I mean, Garmin, I'm surprised
right.
they're still in business.
The only thing now for Garmin, I think, and even Apple has been going after him, would be like if you like to ride your bike or run or exercise, it'll track they have Garmins to track that stuff.
But yeah, but your phone does that.
Right,
your
exactly.
Fitbit does that.
Exactly.
There are so many things that we're wearing. I mean, devices are now being made to be wearable
right.
so that you can go and track and do everything, you know, with Wi-Fi. And it's really just about all coming back to this phone and what you can do with it. And they become more powerful sort of every single year. It's still that quantum leap,
yeah,
I think.
And I think it's changed even the ways that, as we don't even realize it as consumers, is that if you go and look at a website, you know, the vertical scroll is now the way that people look at things, and the things are designed for that vertical scrolling that you do on your phone with your thumb or your finger or whatever.
Yeah. I'm talking with John Byrne. He and I are co-host Monday Morning Marketing, which is a podcast. You'll be able to hear it starting next week on WGN Plus. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, talk more about this. If you've got questions for John or for me about social media, marketing, digital, platform. You just want to know about his triplets? You can call
make
or
a donation
text
for their college fund.
That's right. 312-981-7200. It is 1228 on WGN Radio. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is Elise Glink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand today. Happy New Year's Eve to everybody. My good friend John Byrne, who is my co-host for Monday Morning Marketing, the podcast on WGN Plus, you can hear it starting next week, is here with me in the studio. Hey, John.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. John is a lawyer, former journalist, recovering journalist, former CMO of a global law firm, and he runs Glencoe Media Group. Why don't you tell us what Glencoe Media Group is?
One of the things we do is we work with a lot of professional services firms to provide content and content communication strategy for businesses who are looking to reach to out to their clients and to prospective clients.
So that's a lot of what I do with Glencoe. I was going to say with Glencoe Media Group, but mine says Think Link Media.
In Glencoe.
We're both in Glencoe. And this is why we came up with Monday Morning Marketing, because there's so many overlaps and things that we're seeing both in the strategy for clients and mistakes that clients are making, and people just when it comes to basic stuff in marketing. It almost seems as though there's such a huge focus now in digital, the basics are getting forgotten.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. It's all about trying to figure out what you have to say first.
Right. And how you're going to say it.
Then how you're going to say
it. And then how you're going to say it. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the different stories that we, and you know, we've both said that the rise of mobile this year was just went to a whole new level. Continuing trends, though, for 2016, I want to look a little bit ahead. You think that advertising is still going to be a struggle in all categories. What do you think about that?
Well, I think what's happening is that people want free content, right? They don't necessarily want to pay for content. So how are you going to be able to provide content if you're a content provider other than with advertising? And the problem with that is that a lot of people don't want to look at ads, or they don't want to listen or watch ads instead of the content that they want. We're an on-demand society now, right?
Right.
So I think what's happening, especially in the mobile space, we'll talk about that, there's going to be some interesting shakeout, I think, in the next 12 to 18 months with the idea of ad blocking. And so you're going to see some mobile-only content providers, and maybe even beyond those types of content providers, who are really going to struggle to provide content on a mobile platform because they are in a situation where if they don't have any ads to show, they can't justify the cost of providing the content.
Right. So there's really three different methods of payment right now. You can be the Wall Street Journal and charge $35 a year for it, or whatever the New York Times is charging. It's a variety.
Right.
You've got advertising-supported content, so it feels free. And then you've got like what TheGuardian.com does, which is if they've noticed that you have an ad blocker, they say, we notice you have an ad blocker. Please contribute $5 a month so that we can continue to keep this free and available to you. So I feel like there are these three options out there. Which one do you think might actually win?
Well, it's interesting because I think for the better content providers, it's all about quality. And I think there's going to be a service somewhere started by one of the biggies, like whether it's Apple or maybe it's Microsoft or one of these players who are so big, Google, that are going to offer a subscription service, maybe Facebook, also to provide the type of media content in the same way that they've already started with Apple Music and Spotify and Pandora. These types of companies are providing subscription-based music. What about the content, articles they want to read? YouTube actually has started this. You can watch YouTube Red and be able to look at any video you want without advertisements.
Right. And as a YouTube provider, content provider, I'm not exactly sure how I'm getting compensated for that.
Right.
Probably not much at all.
But I'm sure. Well, like Spotify, right?
Right.
So, I mean, the economic models here are really tough.
Yeah.
And they're really toughest for the content providers, which is why the whole ad blocking idea on mobile, really, there was a huge hue and cry when Apple introduced its own ad blocker
right.
on an iPhone. On the iPhone 6 Plus or whatever we're up to.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. I think newspapers are in for a really rough ride. I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and we were saying that in the next recession, whenever that hits, and I don't necessarily think it'll be in the U.S. next year, presidential election cycle, typically those two things aren't going to hit together.
Right.
But we are seeing it certainly in other parts of the country. Seems to me newspapers at that point in time are really going to get compressed. But what do you think will happen I think you think that newspapers are going down again this year.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I started life as a journalist at a newspaper, the St. Petersburg Times in Florida. Great place, great newspaper. But you know, I think there's about a half a dozen or maybe three, I guess, national newspapers, and I think next year you're going to see at least one of them, whether it's the New York Times, USA Today, the Wall Street Journal. One of them will probably stop printing every day. And I can't
be the New York Times, and it won't be the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, so I think you can kind of guess which one. I
mean,
and it was a paper, frankly, that the other day, a lot of journalists were pointing this out, is that there were, in a whole newspaper, there were two advertisements.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well.
No, not
at
all.
It does not bode well. And the cost of print is just, it's extraordinary, right?
Yeah.
So this push to digital makes a lot of sense.
Distribution, too.
Well, it's really the trucks to carry it, right?
The
people to run the trucks and the gas to put in the trucks. And
not so much the newsrooms to produce the content anymore.
Do they have newsrooms?
Exactly.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I know. They're producing all this stuff without just contributory. I don't know where it comes from.
Right.
All right. Other predictions for 2016 in marketing?
Well, you know, I think that, interestingly enough, there's been a lot of people who are talking about podcasting, obviously, is a way that people are marketing. And it's not a bad way, actually, because I found a statistic this morning, actually, that one in five Americans have listened to a podcast in the last 30 days. And so it was everybody.
Hopefully they're listening to ours, right?
But we got to get the metrics on
that. Yeah, right.
But, you know, when you think about it, that's 70 million people have listened to a podcast in the last month or so. That's an amazing platform. It's certainly more than major daily newspapers all combined.
Well, my friend Farnoosh Tarabi, who's a personal finance reporter, she's based in New York. She started a podcast at the beginning of the year called So Money, which I thought was a great title. And she has now, and she did something really smart, which was she interviewed all kinds of famous people on So Money. And she's got this nice little format. She has had over 1 million downloads of her podcast this year. And
doesn't surprise me at all.
That is incredible to me.
Well, and what's funny is that podcasting has gotten to the point where it's really producing like entertainment style content. I call it newsy stuff, like Serial, the podcast, which was an offshoot of here in Chicago, WBEZ's This American Life. It was an offshoot of it. The second season of it has premiered, I guess, and then they're following the story of Bo Bergdahl, who was an American soldier. Long story there, but it was news that they were coming out with their second season,
right? Which is amazing,
right?
I mean, to be able to do that, so
it's another avenue that I think a lot of savvy marketers are going to be pursuing.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why you can't create your own media. This seems to be the world that we're living in now, right? You can live in your own, you know, bubble, right? If you want to be a, you know, red state Republican, everything you read or listen to can be that. If you want to be, you know, Bernie Sanders blue, everything you read, you can just build your own media bubble of whatever it is and then just kind of go, really, there's another world out there?
Right. No, I mean, and that's this sort of stratification or siloization, if that's a word, of media.
You've just made it up.
I just made it up, so I'm going to claim copyright on it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, this is the way we're headed. We've already been headed there for a long time, but it's really going to come into stark relief because it's going to be available on every single platform.
Right. So companies are going to have to be savvy and strategic about how they reach consumers who are already kind of locked in their own bubble or silo of information, right?
I think there's a time where marketing research has almost never been so valuable in terms of demographics of, you know, you've defined your audience who you want to sell to if you're a small business or even a large business. But, you know, it's a situation where you have to use the data to be able to target you specifically who you want to target.
Right. I mean, it's really important stuff. All right. Stick around for a minute.
Will do.
We are winding our way down to New Year's Eve. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand today with my friend John Byrne, who we co-host Monday Morning Marketing. You'll be able to hear it on WGN Plus starting next week. Very exciting stuff. We talk about media, social media, marketing, digital, all the things that you as a business owner can do a little bit better.
And social. We keep it social, too.
Right? Yeah, it's a very friendly. It's a very,
very friendly
podcast. Very friendly podcast. All right. So we just have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to give people a chance to call in, but I don't think we're going to have time to do that today. But you can reach us. Let me tell you how to reach John. You can find John at glencomediagroup.com. He also is on Twitter, John M. Byrne. right? At John M. Byrne.
Right, B-Y-R-N-E, just like the interchange.
And of course, you've got the Byrne blog.
Yes.
That's really good, actually. You do a great job running that. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, or thinklinkmedia.com is the name of my company. And you can find us through the website there, and of course, at WGN. All right. We just have a minute or two left. So, John, let's go back to 2016, right? So it's the end of the year, new year. Any other big ideas of things that you think will happen in 2016?
Well, I think to talk about social for a minute, social media, I think there's going to be a shakeout. It may not happen quickly in 2016, but I think by the end of 2016, you're going to see one of the major social media network players either disappear entirely or be folded in because of a purchase. And I don't mean Google Plus, by the way.
I think they're already folded in.
They're already folded in. They're dead and buried, I think. And I'm not talking about Yahoo. I mean, I think that you're looking at, I'm going to say it, Twitter. I'm not sure Twitter can survive 2016.
It's so popular. It's so interesting. Why? Because they're just not making enough money?
I don't think they're making any money, honestly. Are they? I mean, you tell me. But I'm not sure that they've turned a profit. And there's been a lot of sort of corporate intrigue over the past year or so. I also think they've lost their mission. I'm not sure that they understand who and what they want to be when they grow up, if they ever grow up, kind of thing. I also think they have a limited kind of audience. They're a very word-based sort of, you know, 140 characters. And they've even talked about crazy things like, well, maybe we're not going to allow it to be 140. You can send tweets that however long you want to be. I'm like, then what's the point?
Well, people have figured out a way to game that system, right?
Of course.
So if you do and we do this ourselves at ThinkLink Media, right? So we'll put up an image, and on the image we'll have all kinds of words. And then, you know, it's like, okay, well, and then we've got our 140 characters. We've got our Bitly link. And we send you out and about looking for things. And I think it's interesting because the engagement is very high on Twitter. But now they're introducing Moments. They've got a video in beta. They're trying to do, I think, more things as they see that people are really very image and video driven this year.
Yeah, I just think that the digitally, too, I think that they're going to hit a generation gap, too, because I think a lot of younger users of the internet were sort of originally entranced by Twitter because it allowed that engagement and back and forth. But now they can do it privately through Instant Messenger. They can use
Facebook.
Know, Snapchat, obviously, is a huge one. They can make Snapchat stories too, obviously.
Right. Everybody's trying to do everything. It is really kind of interesting. Video, live video, Periscope, Facebook is doing experimenting with live video. I think Twitter is going to have to go in that direction where you can just hold up your phone, right? Basically, we talked about this earlier, at a rally or at a police, whatever's happening there, and just hold it up and be able to stream on Twitter to Twitter Moments. I think is really what people would want to use it for.
Right.
I don't know if it has that capability or will have that capability.
Right. And I mean, the immediacy is what currently is sort of sets it apart. But I think other social media is going to get around that in a way that, like, Facebook's going to solve that problem. I mean, and they're just too big not to.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if Facebook actually does. Facebook is moving into sort of the news. They're compiling all the different news providers. We'll see if that is actually going to turn a profit for anybody other than, say, Facebook.
I mean, Mark
Boost
Zuckerberg's,
that post.
Mark Zuckerberg's got a lot of money still to give away.
He's a baby. We should support him. Well, he doesn't have enough, right? It's expensive. Diapers? You have triplets.
I'm sure he's got his baby sponsored, too. Who knows? He's got him in a sponsored post. On Twitter, maybe.
I don't know. I think we should.
First world problems. Let's move on.
Yeah, first way. Exactly. Newspapers. We talked a little bit about this earlier. You think, and I'm only putting this on you because you're the one who said it, you think that the USA Today is probably going to stop printing. Let's talk about local, though, right? We've seen Patch was out of AOL, was supposed to be the new great thing. Patch really never took off, but now it seems to be creeping back in again. We're seeing Yahoo try some very local stuff. I don't know if Yahoo's going to make it or not. They're going to spin off their whole content business. So,
well, and the other thing about Yahoo and a couple of others is automation, right? I mean, as long as you don't need people to write stuff, you can still produce the content great. I think local still requires people to go sit and cover, the local city council meeting or whatever, or write up the police reports that are, kind of funny sometimes and sometimes not, obviously. But everybody reads them. The blotter, the police blotter in your local paper is something everybody reads.
Yeah, everybody still likes that. And,
right.
And we've seen that kind of thing. All right. So if you're a company in 2016, what do you think, off the top of your head, what's the one thing companies need to do in order to really achieve their marketing goals next year?
I think one of the things they have to do is define their audience, and because the audience is getting more and more segmented, and they have to define what it is they're trying to sell to each part of that audience.
I have to say, I think the one thing that companies need to do is they have to understand that traditional media doesn't work the way it used to work. I think there's still, for a lot of companies that hire us, they're like, I want to be on TV every day. I want to be on Bloomberg. And really, there are so many other ways to reach your audience. I think you have to open up your mind to the different way that media works today and try and figure out how to use the best that you can, the money that you have, the resources, where to put that across the spectrum. I don't think you can just go one channel anymore.
Right.
I think it has to be multiple channels.
Yeah. We've talked about ROI in our podcast, and we'll keep talking about it because it's the thing that drives every other decision.
Yeah, if you don't get an ROI, like, why would you even spend the money? And it has to be something more than just, we're going to earn 1 cent on the dollar.
Right.
That's just not going to cut it for sure.
Right.
All right, John, well, this has been fun. We get to continue the fun Monday Morning Marketing every week on WGN+.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's really fun to be here. And everybody can find you on Twitter at John M. Byrne, the Byrne blog, and GlencoeMediaGroup.com. And, of course, you can find me at Glink or ThinkLinkMedia.com or ThinkLink, questions at ThinkLink.com. I'm way too available.
I was going to say.
I'm way too.
You got it coming from all sides. You've already gotten some questions, too,
right.
This week.
Right. No, we have. We had. Oh, and just to follow up. So for those of you who were listening a couple of days ago, Laura, who called in, who couldn't find a place to buy, we had somebody else call in offering to have her live with her. And even though I can't match everybody up, there was the suggestion that we could do a Golden Girls board that women could find roommates on. So I'm going to work on that, and we'll give you an update the next time I'm on.
Can't wait.
I can't wait either. All right. This has been a hoot. I got to run, but I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining us on WGN Radio. Stay tuned for next.